Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just arrived collection of swim and other sun ready silhouettes.
Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made to be seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine.
Rewind to the future with the VS Archive swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. Staying consistent is hard, but it's important if you want to see results.
Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies right now, and they're one of the only brands that are committed to your health.
They only use the cleanest and purest ingredients in their formulas. No seed oils, no preservatives, or toxins.
Let me walk you through my morning routine. I wake up, make my coffee, and then make sure to fill my water with Symbiotica Pure Hydration before my early morning workout. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and I've loved every supplement I've tried so far. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month.
Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use code POD for 15% off your subscription order.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
All right, so I am back with my co-host of today because Tam is still in the dang hospital. Still doesn't need surgery, so that's great. But Emily and I will be... Ryan?
That's correct.
Emily and I will be recapping Real Housewives of New York and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Let's start with New York.
Yes.
So it starts off, which it's pretty much... I love these episodes where it's everybody just recapping people on what they missed because they had COVID or they were in Scotland right. or whatever it is. So that was the first half of the episode. But Jessel tells Jenna that she and Pavitt finally did the deed. Sai tells Aaron on FaceTime that it took Jessel 25 minutes to warm up down there. Okay, my question for you is, are the women too invested in Jessel's sex life? How much interest would you have if you were on the cast?
I mean, I do find it interesting. And I do feel like when you're on a show, you're on a cast, you're talking about your life, you're talking about your sex life. I feel like you're opening the door for other people to comment and have conversations about it. So I don't have a problem with that. I guess my real question is, did she really not have sex for that long? And then when she's filming a TV show, they finally had sex. Like, I just have a hard time wrapping my brain around that.
Well, I just kind of think she should get shirts made for all the women that say, Jessel and Pavitt f***ed and all I got was this t-shirt.
Yeah, like, that's good. I mean, I like that too.
Like, maybe you can start to suspend your belief and be like, okay, maybe it just forced them to start talking about it, because I'm sure when she first brought it up, it wasn't fully planned that it was going to have such a big reaction. And then once it did, it became this whole to-do.
So basically they got like pressured into having sex. They were like, we have to.
Like, it's time.
Before the season's over.
Yeah.
Before the finale episode, we have to have sex.
Yes. They're like, it's some way, somehow, you're going to get it in. But also, which leads me to the next question about warming up down there.
What does that mean?
Some people really need a lot of foreplay. I am not necessarily one of those people. As long as you're just nice to me and we're connected in some capacity.
I'm like, what's your foreplay? You just want like a candy bar and like you look pretty and you're good to go. Like, just bring me a package of Twizzlers and tell me I'm hot. And like, I'm like,
I don't, let's do it. Like, I essentially, I just don't want you to just stick it in, but I don't need much more than that. Like, you look hot today, or like something as simple as,
yeah, I found my iPad by myself.
Like,
that's hot.
Yeah, that's so hot. Or like, Teddy, thanks for finding my iPad. My iPod. It's now 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Thanks for finding my iPad. I appreciate you. I love you. Good to go. Let's go. So I do wonder what kind of warm up one takes. Like, is it a fitness warm up? Is it
like calisthenics where you're like stretching and you're like doing squats?
Or did it mean that he had to like go down on her for 25 minutes?
I don't know. I can't even picture that, because he seems very interested in just like sandwiches
and champagne
first class. Yeah, I can't picture him like
putting in that kind of work. And for 25 minutes, like. Yeah. Like my playlist, my sex playlists are like 18 minutes long. And those.
Wait, what's on your sex playlist? Like what songs?
I already get so much. They're like the world's cheesiest songs, like Party in the USA.
Oh, I like Guns N' Roses.
That's like every rose has its thorn. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Like the 80s, like ballads, like 80s rock ballads.
Yeah.
That's good sex music.
Like, I'm pretty much fine with anything as long as it's not super emotional. I'm good to go. But then Sai tells Aaron that Pavitt is going to Vietnam for 24 hours to rack up his flyer points. Aaron says when you add that to the lack of sex, it makes things strange. Do you think it Sai and Aaron are trying too hard to insinuate that Pavitt's cheating?
You know, I honestly, previous to this episode, was kind of on board with the whole like, that's weird that he's flying to Vietnam and they haven't had sex for 2 years and it kind of makes things seem strange, and maybe he's getting a happy ending or something in Vietnam. I don't know what's going on. But then after this episode, they just reminded me so much of Shane and me. Like, I think Pavitt's just like Shane. Like, I feel like he's just like, he doesn't really feed into the whole filming or the other women. I don't think he really cares. And I think they have a really solid relationship. I actually really liked them this episode. And I thought that they have such a grounded and good relationship that I was like, she doesn't care that he's flying. I wouldn't care if Shane wanted to fly somewhere and get a sandwich. Like, he's not cheating on me. I'm 100% sure of that. It's not happening.
I mean, there are certain things that I care about. Like, there are certain trips that I would not particularly love. Like, I think at this, well, it's not even trips. Like, if Edwin picked up golf, I'd be really freaking annoyed. Because, not because of cheating, but because golf is a really long sport. And I think it takes,
you mean
because
he's gone all day?
All day, like golf. On a Sunday. Like, men who play golf are not, like, that's not my love language.
So you like, he needs like a short hobby.
A short hobby.
Like air hockey.
Yes. If he wants to.
Like in and out.
If he wants to go play an hour and a half pickleball game, I'm fine with it. But if he wants to do a full golf game, you know what? That's a lot of hours. And you already work a lot. That's fucking annoying. But if he wanted to fly to go get a sandwich, I also think the sandwich thing is taken out of context. I do think, as they said on Watch What Happens Live, like, they are trying to do something with the mileage. It does come up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not rich enough where that I even have that type of mileage. I'm just like flying Spirit Airlines here.
Okay. Well, he did make a reel to explain the airline situation, because I didn't really understand it, and I kept asking Shane questions last night. I was like, I don't get it. It's a voucher. Like, if there was COVID, he has to use it. It was $15,000, but he got it for $900. I'm confused. So apparently Pavitt made a reel explaining it, and it was just basically like something like he got a deal on a first class flight that's normally $15,000, but he paid $900, but then it got canceled because of COVID. But now he can use it, but he doesn't know exactly when he can use it. It's just whenever there's like an extra seat. So you're just kind of waiting like on standby.
So it's like a Groupon for a flight to Vietnam.
Yeah, like something like that.
And so it's going to expire at some point.
Right. And so he has to use it. And I think that's why she didn't really know the date. Like, he was probably like, oh, if a seat opens up, I'll go next week. So then she tells her friends, oh, he's going to go next week. But I don't think she was lying. I think she just really didn't care.
Yeah. Like, whenever he's going to go, he's going to go. But then Aaron is, of course, is hosting a couples night. And the group asks Pavitt why he's going to Vietnam. Pavitt says he likes to get away and use his miles. Jessel says she has never had friends so invested in her husband's travel schedule. Do you think the husbands are getting too involved with Pavitt and Jessel's relationship?
The husbands?
Yeah, like, because they're all now saying like, well, that would mean I'm this, that would mean I'm doing that. I think these husbands in this episode may have been overserved a touch.
Yeah, I just, the way I took it was I thought they were just having fun and making jokes. And I felt like he was just playing along with it too. I mean, I don't really think they think he's cheating on her or anything like that. So I just felt like they just had some drinks and they were just making fun.
Like, also, I'm not,
I didn't take it, I don't think it's that deep. Like, it's not that deep.
But then Sai tells Jessel that she was offended at their lunch when she brought up Sai's mom. Jessel says she thought her experience with her uncle would relate to Sai. Sai says she wants Jessel to be real and honest. Jessel says she has never lied. Sai says you lied when Pavan was going to Vietnam. Jessel says she is over this mean girl shit. Sai says you make no sense when you speak and you never answer questions. Do you think that Sai's frustrated with Jessel is like unwarranted, or do you think Sai's just irritated that she brought up her mother in the first place and is having to re-talk about it over and over again?
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Do you want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. You won't regret it.
Whether it's food from your favorite restaurants, groceries from across town, or anything in between, Dash Pass is the most affordable way to get everything you need delivered right to your door. Get more from delivery for less with Dash Pass, $0 delivery fees, and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders.
Sign up for Dash Pass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for Dash Pass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply.
I really don't think it's justified. I actually felt badly for Jessel. I felt like Sai was just trying to find any opportunity to jump on her and jump down her throat. And then she kept saying, I didn't want to go to lunch with you anyway. I didn't want to be there. And I don't know. I just thought it was, I thought it was mean. I did.
I find myself missing when Sai just complained about food.
Yeah, I liked that better. I don't know. I felt badly for Jessel. I felt like she did want to have lunch. She showed up 45 minutes late.
She didn't want to have lunch on time, but she did want to have lunch.
No, but she's like, I was just like 15 minutes late.
But Sai saying she doesn't but it care was like 45. After bringing up the subject is very much the same as like a troll who comes on to post on like your Instagram and then says, nobody cares. Well, clearly you do because you're here.
Yeah. And you follow me, idiot.
Yeah. Like, so obviously.
I like the people that always like they'll comment something like, you're irrelevant. And then I'll look and they follow me. And I'm like, you're stupid. Then why are you following me? Why are you following me and commenting and then telling me I'm irrelevant?
It makes no sense. But then they're at this couple's, but which I found also interesting that this couple's place was called Swingers. I didn't realize at first when they said Swingers, I was like, I got all perked up. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's like it a golf reference.
Yeah. Or
mini golf. Uba says, ask the guys why they thought their wife was the one. But the part that I also found confusing was everyone's real revved up about Pavitt's answer, but Pavitt's answer was kind of the same as Abe's. I actually thought it just seemed, he added one extra line in, but pretty much like, I want to live a good life, have fun with my person, do blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't know. But after hearing...
I took it as, I thought it was a compliment. I thought he made he didn't say his best friend, but the way I took it was like, he married someone who was like his best friend that he has fun with. They have children together and she lets him. And when he said, she lets me do what I want, I didn't take it as like, she, like I go out and cheat on her and she ignores it. I took it as she doesn't try to make him into someone he isn't. Like, she lets him be him. He's a little quirky, he's a little odd, but she lets him be that, you know?
And then I've realized in this moment when you see like Aaron's face with Abe and also Sai's husband, like they're all at this point, they're all tuned in. And I feel like all their antennas are up and they're so excited to point out that Pavitt and Jessel are having issues. So like, there's not going to be any conversation about, you know, hearing from Aaron and Abe that they're considering threesomes or any of these other things that have been discussed.
Well, poor Pavitt, he was just in a position where it was a lose-lose. I mean, he could have said Jessel's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And they would have been like, oh, he's making that up. He's just saying that to cover up for the fact that he's flying to Vietnam.
That he's not wearing his wedding ring, even though he hasn't worn it since... after 2 weeks after they got married.
But and Shane's never worn a wedding ring either, just to throw that out there. Not one time in the 15 years we've been married, and I'm not worried the least bit.
Well, Edwin lost his when we first got married. He threw it. He was throwing a football
at you?
No. Oh. He was throwing a football at my dad's house and the ring fell off and I cried and thought it was bad luck. And then my little brothers had to go out with like a little like gold metal finder detector and find the ring. Like, so I'm weird about the wedding rings. I want a wedding ring on, but I think it's one thing if you wear a wedding ring for years and then you decide not to. I think that's, you know, that's different. But I think if your husband has never worn a wedding ring, that's a decision that you make from the beginning.
Yeah, he never has. It's never been an issue. But what was Pavitt's? He had it and he lost it.
He lost it 2 weeks after they got married.
Yeah, and how long have they been together? I mean,
I don't know. They've been best friends forever. But do you think that this is the same that Aaron that got pissed that Brynn used the word divorce at her vow renewal is the Aaron who is insinuating someone else's marriage is in trouble? Like,
yeah, I thought Aaron was the instigator. Like, I liked how she was, I mean, not I didn't like, but I found it interesting how she was listening to the whole conversation, but then she just kept saying, like, I agree with Sai. I'm siding with Sai. I'm like, she was team Sai no matter what happened or what anybody said.
And then we get past this meal, which Uba's now showing Sai her boyfriend, which she's not showing to the other girls, and just to show what a good secret keeper Sai is or whatever it is. And then we have the sit down between Brynn and Jenna and Jessel and Pavitt, which is the recap because of the COVID and the Scotlands. And Pavitt just immediately sits down and says something a guy would naturally just say, which is like...
that she's bipolar.
Yes! And then all the women panic.
Because they're like, oh, you can't say that! Retract!
Then Brynn says that Aaron told her that Pavitt wasn't wearing his ring. Jessel said, you know, all of it. I mean, if you were on this cast, what would your response be to Aaron and Sai's constant involvement in Jessel's marriage? I think they just don't like Jessel.
I agree. I think they don't like Jessel, and I think they're just going hard for her at any opportunity they can find to dig at it or to, you know, make it, try to twist it, make it look bad, make it look like there's marriage problems. they take it. But, you know, I mean, Erin was mad about somebody mentioning divorce and she got so pissed about that. But she's, I mean, they're constantly, you know, trying to tear down Jessel's marriage, which I think is worse. I'd rather have someone just
make
one comment, yeah, like a joke, like, haha, let me know when you get divorced. I mean, I would take that over someone consistently, repeatedly tearing down my marriage every time I'm around them.
Yeah. I mean, you, in this moment, you actually see Jessel get emotional. Like, it's starting to hit her. Like, as much as she's, yeah. And I think that Jenna is being a good friend to Jessel. Like, she's saying to her, mm-hmm, things like, listen, you don't have to find things to relate to these other girls about. Like, you, mm-hmm, you're trying to find a connection where there's not a connection. And I think all... Well,
she's trying to find a connection and the other person has to reciprocate or there's no connection, right? And if they're not going to reciprocate, you're never going to make a connection. So at some point, you have to just back out.
You have to just back out and hope. And mm-hmm, I think Bren made a good point. She's like, I guarantee if one time Jessel stood up for herself in a dramatic way, then Sai would probably start kissing Jessel's ass. But the fact, yeah, that she knows she can string her along and make her feel like shit is, you know. Well, that's pretty much, that's New York. Let's take a little break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Salt Lake City.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Do you want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. You won't regret it.
Whether it's food from your favorite restaurants, groceries from across town, or anything in between, Dash Pass is the most affordable way to get everything you need delivered right to your door. Get more from delivery for less with Dash Pass, $0 delivery fees, and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders.
Sign up for Dash Pass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for Dash Pass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply. All right, so we are back to talk about all things Salt Lake City. I recently just saw Angie when I was at the horse show. And
she was there,
her daughter rides, so
that's right, yeah.
I saw her. She had on the goggles,
the pink ones,
yeah,
and it's her welding,
yeah, her
getup, like she's going to put together a steel building later.
She had them on. She said she was going to send us some for the pod, and I was like, well, don't sleep on that because we need them,
yeah,
before the season's over. We will wear them. It starts off where Angie pulls Meredith aside to address the rumors about her husband. Meredith says she has no idea what Angie is talking about, but there are rumors. Angie says that Meredith has gone after every marriage in the group, but she is the only one spreading her legs outside of her marriage. Uh-huh. Heather says she's heard the rumor before. In Utah, people always say male hairdressers are gay. If a guy wears a cardigan, they think he's gay. How do you feel about housewives using a gay husband rumor on the show?
That was a lot of questions in there. Okay, first of all, I like Meredith's statement. What was it? I didn't hear any rumors. Or no, what did she say? I didn't say any rumors, but I heard this or something. I mean, she could contradict. Say it again.
Essentially, what Meredith is saying is, I said I heard rumors. I didn't say what they were.
Right. Yeah.
Which is always worse to me.
I know. I told you. We talked about this before. I can't stand that. You know, I had to deal with that last season with the whole, someone said something about you, but I'm not going to tell you what they said because, you know, I just keep it in the vault. But it's like, then you've got two choices. Either say what it is or shut up. Like, I hate that middle intermediary. I'm still a good person because I'm not telling you exactly what it was. So I guess that's Meredith's position, is like, I just threw it out there to everybody that there's rumors, but I didn't actually say what the rumor is. But Monica had no problem saying the rumor over and over. And that reminds me of what you said about Sutton, where like her face lights up when she says something.
Yes.
I felt like that was Monica. She's like, well, I heard, well, let me tell you what it was. I mean, how many times did she repeat it? I mean, she must have said it four times.
Well,
in the episode,
I think it essentially went like this. It's like Meredith said that when she was the rumors, and she was all,
I like how she says rumors. I know rumors.
The rumors.
The rumors.
So Meredith set it up, but then Whitney took the ball and essentially went, gave a little softball to Monica, and then Monica hit it out of the ballpark. Like, I think it was
a
collaborative effort.
It was the team effort on everyone's part, except for Lisa Barlow, who's just happy that everybody's there having a good time.
She's like, ugh.
But okay, so how did Monica know the rumor? Did Meredith tell Monica, or is this just something Monica heard on her own in Salt Lake, just independently, not from Meredith? That's my question.
All I know for certain is what's not a rumor is that Mary is so rude to all service staff. I can't even take it.
I know. You know what? I'm over Mary. I found her slightly amusing in like the first couple episodes. And now when she wanted pizza in a to-go box at somebody's party, and she didn't understand why they didn't have a box, and then they were trying to explain they didn't want to touch it.
And she's like, you're just lazy.
What a rude. Oh, man. Can they just get rid of her already? And then she wasted an outfit. And then she wanted to know where the food. She's just terrible.
It really is getting me to a bad place. There's always going to come up when a guy is a hairdresser that they're going to be gay.
Yeah. So
there's always going
to
be.
And I don't think that's mutually exclusive to Utah either. I think people just always.
It's a generalization.
It's just a generalization. Yeah.
But
no matter what state you live in.
Right. But I think the scene between Angie and Sean where she tells him, I think this was actually a brilliant scene in the fact that Sean didn't get upset that somebody called him gay. Mm-hmm. He got upset at the infidelity portion. And this is where this couple really won me over.
Yeah.
Because it really was about like, you are saying that I am not being faithful to my wife.
Right. And that's the root of the issue. It's not someone questioning my sexuality. Because let's be honest, every house husband that comes on a housewife, Shane's gotten called gay so many times. He's gay. I see it constantly. But the issue is when you're insinuating that he's having extramarital affairs, regardless of sexual identity, that has nothing to do with it. He's hurt and upset because someone's making rumors that he's cheating on his wife. And that's the problem.
And that's what the other women are so out of touch. They're not even getting.
No, they're just they're just happy to say,
they just want a salacious rumor.
It's men. They're emphasizing the men part. But yeah, I do. I love that scene too. And he actually cried and I felt for him because their family's so tight and so close and they're so worried about their daughter. And his concern was, He doesn't want anyone to think that he would ever cheat on his wife. And he doesn't want his daughter to ever think that he would ever do that to his wife or to his family. And that was, it was such a profound moment. I really enjoyed it too. And enjoyed it in a very deep, heartfelt way. Like, I really felt for him.
And then I also appreciated, like, when they gave us a little bit more backstory on them. Like, we saw pictures of them when they first started out. And, like, it just right. gave us a more, like, 360 view. Yeah. of them as a couple, where I feel like when yeah. you come in, I think it's different when you come in as a full housewife versus when you come in originally mm-hmm. as a friend of, you yeah. don't get much backstory on the friend ofs mm-hmm. that then turn into housewives. So the mm-hmm. fact that we got a little bit more was helpful yeah. to me.
Yeah. And I don't know anything about Greek Orthodox or Greek Orthodox religion. I don't know anything about that, but I do like that they explained how that was central to their marriage and their life and their family and their extended family, and that they wouldn't partake in any type of infidelity because it's not accepted within their, you know, traditional roles in their religion.
Yeah.
And I liked that they explained that too.
And they do.
I thought that added a layer of depth.
And they do seem like a good couple. Like, they don't, they seem like yeah. they have a good mutual respect for one another. They seem to be on the same page.
Okay, I did have one problem with that scene, though. My only problem with that scene was that she was waking up out of bed with a robe on, getting a cup of coffee with full glam.
I know.
I was like, girlfriend, you did not just wake up like that.
I know, but I think that it's, and I'm saying this in a loving way, Angie, but when I saw her at the horse show, she said one of those things like, oh, I'm embarrassed that you're seeing me without makeup on. And I was like, oh my gosh, uh-huh. you look beautiful. No matter what. And look at me, like, I've been up for like 820 hours. I think mm-hmm. there's something when you first get on the show, that mm-hmm. pressure to look a mm-hmm. certain way. And regardless of how beautiful you are naturally or without glam, but especially mm-hmm. when people are so brutal online.
They are, but I guess to me it was like,
it felt moment, that part made it feel fake. I know.
Yeah, it was like the moment was so real and the moment with the husband was so real, but then I just couldn't get past the fact that she sat in a chair and had her makeup done before
I know
she had that moment with her husband. That was it. I was like, I just felt like it should have just been,
especially when the one part the part that I've loved Monica the most this entire season mm-hmm. has been the part with her kids. Mm-hmm. Where she doesn't have a lick of makeup on. She's a hot mess express. She's yeah. picking up socks. Her little kid says boner. Like yeah. that scene.
Is boner a bad word?
Yeah. And then the other kid's like, that's a really bad word. And like,
yeah.
you could see their relationship and you just kind of appreciate her as a mom in that moment.
Yeah.
And I liked that she had no glam on. I liked that, like, she looked exactly the way we all look going to carpool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate women and housewives. And, you know, I wear makeup on camera and I don't wear makeup on camera. I do both. But, you know, I don't feel the need to always have it on.
Yeah,
I think that's just me.
I think it just depends on the person. And so, you know, you do mm-hmm. you, but we are able to clock it when somebody's glammed.
Well, I was going to say, going back to that scene, though, with Meredith drove me nuts, though, because she ran away from every conversation.
She always does.
It's just like as soon as someone goes to talk to her and confront her, she doesn't even get like a full sentence out. She's just like, I did not spread the rumors. And then she splits again. And then she leaves and she puts on her big cape and she exits the building. It's like every time.
The line she said a couple seasons ago was like, I'm disengaging. And so yeah. then she just leaves and it drives me nuts because you can't throw a little log on the fire, watch it explode mm-hmm. and then leave every time when it comes back at yeah. you. Then we get to the Lisa Barlow scene where Lisa makes it all about her.
You gotta love Lisa Barlow. I love Lisa. She's a character.
Of course.
I love how she was so triggered. Like she was, like
she went from like 0 to 100. Like
I felt like, was there like 30 minutes of filming in there that they cut out that led up to that? Or do you think it was just like that?
That
was my question.
I was actually trying to decipher how much was on that charcuterie board to see like how much time had actually right. passed to get right, to that right. level. But the way it looked was like that Andrew was just starting to tell her story. And then Lisa was like,
yeah.
bam.
Which she's like, wait, you were at Heather's house?
Yeah.
You went to, like, you were at her house?
And then she did this to me and she did that to, you know, all of it. And then Lisa and her son, and they're talking about the missions. And all I could think during the pedicure portion of this was, oh, Lisa hasn't gotten kicked out of the pedicure place yet. Like the tanning salon.
No, not that one. It might have been a new salon.
No, that was the tanning salon she got kicked out of.
Yeah, but I'm sure she's been kicked out of other places. Like, let's be serious, Lisa. How many places in Salt Lake City have you been kicked out of?
Ugh, true. We need a list. Then we get to Linda, Monica's mother, says Monica's daughter needs Jesus. Monica tells Linda that she apologized for raising her in the church. Linda says it's important to go to church every Sunday. Monica says, yeah, well, your daughter still got pregnant at 19. Monica tells Linda to not say nasty things when she thinks Monica is not listening. They started talking about how they thought that they had hung up the phone. And then Linda starts yelling, Monica's a bitch.
I hate her. Get her out of my life. God, that was horrible.
I mean, the whole thing was horrible. And if I were Monica, my mom would instantly be on the do not call list. And right? I'd be returning that Louis Vuitton scarf that I obviously bought her when I got my one bag for filming.
I know. I saw the scarf too. And I was like, clearly she got that when she went to Louis Vuitton and cried and bought her one bag. She got her mom a scarf. She was like, here, wear this when we're filming.
But maybe don't wear it with that headband.
Maybe not. You might want to rethink that.
But I did love the grandma.
I like the grandma too. The grandma's funny. She's like, don't talk dirty in here. No dirty talk.
And I also didn't really understand that card game. It's just, you have the card. And if you do, you just throw it in the middle.
I don't know. It's like go fish or something. I don't know. Maybe they just made it up.
It seemed like that. But you can, I do appreciate that Monica is trying to like share her life. And, but the problem is Linda is trying to show us an obviously a fake version of what their life is. Yeah. And Monica is not having it.
She's not having it. I actually really like Monica on her own.
Yeah.
When she's with her kids and family, it's when she's with the other women that she turns me off slightly. Cause I feel like she's so interested in just being an instigator.
Cause
that
she's
I don't
a
really
trier,
know.
Which.
Yeah. I don't know where she's fitting in. I don't really know who she's friends with. I don't really know what relationship she has with any of the women. I can't tell.
Well, on Watch What Happens Live, the way they've led this up to it is we all thought that she was close with Angie. But Angie said on Watch What Happens Live, she had only met Monica one time prior to filming.
Oh, yeah. They made it like they were good
friends.
Yeah,
but one time. Yeah. Come on.
No, that's not friends.
That's not friends. One time.
No. I'm better friends with, you know, the guy at Starbucks.
Yeah. I mean, one time. I guess one time, Jen Shaw, Monica, and Angie made like a TikTok video together. And that's the time they met. And they obviously saw at that time that Monica's going to make good television. And here we go. The rest is history. Yeah. Then we get to the end of the episode where Whitney tells Heather about Lisa's reaction to Heather inviting Angie over. Whitney says Lisa was jealous and hurt. Heather says if Lisa wants a genuine friendship, she should tell her about Jack's mission. Do you think Lisa should have told Heather about Jack's mission? And why do you think Lisa cares that Heather invited Angie over?
Well, the whole mission thing, like I had that was an interesting episode scene for me, because I'm married to a Mormon who went on a mission. And I also have a stepdaughter who just went on a mission. So I guess maybe what I want to clear up about a mission, just because Heather, I felt like she made it very one dimensional, where it's like you just go around and knock on doors and try to convert people to Mormonism. I feel like it's more complex than that. I mean, clearly they do a lot of they do a lot of good. They do a lot of work. They do a lot of volunteering. There's a lot more to it than just
selling the word.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, and I asked Shane about it, and he said it's not selling. It's just trying to open people up to an opportunity, and then they make a choice, their own free will. So I felt like that was a better way to say it, maybe less judgmental way to say it. But why would Lisa tell Heather? She wrote a book called Bad Mormon. I mean,
yeah.
It's, I don't like, why would she go to her and be like, oh, by the way, my son's going to go on a mission, when clearly Heather has serious problems with missionaries and the church. And, you know, she had a bad experience. I don't take anything away from that. Everybody has their own experience, their own thoughts, their own, you know, experience. I don't know what else to say besides experience. Like, that was her personal experience. But it doesn't, I mean, why would Lisa want to tell someone something that they know they're going to have a negative reaction to?
And especially when it comes to your kid, you just want to keep it clean. Right. Well, that's the end. We've completed another two episodes. We are looking forward to doing more recaps with you guys in the future. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and concerns. And I'll be back in a couple days with all things Real Housewives of Orange County.
Ooh, that's exciting. Oh, goodness. Have fun with that.
Ugh, lucky me.
Good luck.
Thanks, Shane. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time.
Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama.
A new season of The Kardashians starring, well, The Kardashians, of course.
And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean.
It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.